Five union longshoremen in Charleston, South Carolina, face felony charges for allegedly inciting a riot after a bloody clash with police in January 2000. Members of the International Longshoremen's Association were challenging a shipping company's use of non-union labor. The five union workers have been kept under home confinement for more than a year as they await trial. South Carolina's Republican Attorney General, who's pushing for tough punishment, says he's upholding the state's right-to-work laws. But members of the predominantly black Democratic union say the felony charges have more to do with the politics of labor than the rule of law. From Charleston, NPR's Eric Westervelt reports.
Anthony Smith stands along Charleston's bustling port, his body hunched over a bit in the humid heat. He looks older than his 43 years. He started on the docks just out of high school at 18, and Smith's body bears the scars of two-plus decades as a longshoreman. In January of 2000, when the Danish Nordana shipping line became the first tier to hire non-union dock workers, Smith says he protested because he felt like all he'd worked for was threatened.
Yeah, I was angry. I got a reason to be angry. I got 25 years in this industry, and I got a person coming here going to work for little or nothing, you know, going to take my job, and then where am I going to go from there if I let them take my job? I got a family. I got a wife and three kids. It just ain't fair.
One of the dozens of trucks then whizzes by with a 40-foot metal container resting on its flat bed. A giant crane reaches over a mammoth cargo ship and plucks another container, one of 6,000 stacked 5 high and 9 deep. The containers hold everything from cars to frozen food. Men scurry to position the crane and place metal stacking bolts or shoes on the container's bottom. Here at the nation's fourth busiest port, this elaborate, chaotic, and often dangerous logistical dance goes on day and night. Just after dawn at the Union Hall, hundreds of dock workers line up by seniority in 4 neat rows, waving their work cards. A foreman, or gang leader as they're called, walks the line picking the men he needs to work that day's ships, deciding who gets paid and who sits.
Melvin Smith, plus 25, new cars.
For decades, the longshoremen's unions have worked to make dock work safer and better paying. In the 1960s and 70s, the rise of containerization, packing anything and everything into big standard-sized metal boxes, made the global transport of goods easier and more efficient. It also cost longshoremen here hundreds of jobs. Local 1422 is almost all black, and President Ken Riley says the port is still one of the only places in the state where a high school-educated black man can earn a good living. Union workers with seniority and overtime earn $75 to $100,000 a year.
Someone who does not have a formal college education is not supposed to be living a middle-class lifestyle. This job, this waterfront, this union provide good jobs to young blacks who may have made mistakes early in life. We give them that second chance.
It's with that history in mind that this South Carolina local set up picket lines that January when the Nordana line came to port and hired a non-union staff. On the first 2 days, there were small, peaceful picket lines as a few dozen police kept an eye on the union protesters. But on the third day, everything changed. The law enforcement presence mushroomed to some 600 state and local police. Union head Riley says it was an inexplicable and massive show of force.
I mean, patrol cars all over the place, all down the street, looked like a war zone. They were in full riot gear, practicing maneuvers, and I'm saying, what in the world is going on? I thought it looked like an invasion. It looked like a police state. And I'll never forget pulling into that spot, a parking spot, and I just sat there. And I said, Lord, what in the world are we going to do with this?
There were police positioned on a nearby bridge and on warehouse roofs. 600 officers facing fewer than 200 union members. Union crane operator Charles Brave was one of the first arrested that night. Brave says as a friend walked toward the police line, his hands at his sides, hoping to get arrested calmly, an officer broke line and slammed his colleague to the ground with his riot shield and baton.
They provoked him. They were in full riot gear. They were beating him with the nightsticks. And then that's when I made my way over to him and I said, man, officer, y'all can't beat him like that no more. And when I tried to go to get Jacob off the ground, right, that's when he took me to the ground with the shield. And that's when they went to beating on me. And they beat me pretty good. They did a good job.
Bleeding and bruised, Brave was put in a paddy wagon. Shortly after, local President Riley was struck in the head with a police baton. Blood was streaming down his face. That was when the protest turned into a full-scale riot. Freelance News cameraman Bill Bryant was there. He says both sides were out of control, but Bryant says the union men seemed more so. Bryant, who's black, was bloodied and had his camera smashed by rioters.
I was pushed from behind to the ground. At that point, all I can remember is falling to the ground and looking over, see my camera, possibly camera flying all over the place. And I was pushed down to the ground. And I tried to get up and crawl to grab my camera. At that point, about five guys started running toward me, screaming that they're going to kick my butt. And another guy yelled to them, you know, leave him alone. He's a brother. You can't do that to him. Leave him alone.
After the riot, both sides claimed that the other instigated the violence. The injuries turned out to be minor, and at first the punishments were too. A judge dropped the original misdemeanor charges of trespassing against nine dock workers and sentenced them to community service. But then South Carolina's Attorney General Charlie Condon stepped in. Condon, a fierce supporter of the state's right-to-work laws, originally tried to get nine rioters charged with felony counts of rioting. But a state judge dismissed the charges, citing lack of evidence. So Condon seated a grand jury and secured indictments against five men on felony charges of conspiracy, resisting arrest, assault and battery, and rioting. They were placed under home confinement as a condition of their bail. The union says the felony charges amount to crass political payback. Condon, a conservative Republican, is running for governor, and Local 1422 has been intensely political. It's held fundraisers for local and statewide Democratic Party candidates and hosted Democratic Party meetings. The local also campaigned hard against the flying of the Confederate flag over the state capitol. Ken Riley.
Being black and being union in the state is double jeopardy. Felony, under house arrest for over a year and a half, cannot leave the state, can't be out of home after 7 p.m., you got hardened criminals out there, drug offenders, rapists. They don't face that. You see, so it's all politically motivated. He thinks he's carrying out the mandate of the conservative big business side in the state.
Attorney General Condon and state police declined to speak with NPR for the story. In Condon's press releases after the riot, it's clear he sees the Charleston case as something of a litmus test for the state's right-to-work laws. South Carolina has one of the lowest rates of union membership in the country. In a statement soon after the melee, Condon said, in South Carolina, a citizen's right not to join a union is absolute and will be fully protected. Condon went on to announce a, quote, comprehensive plan for dealing with union violence and attacks on police, which involves jail, jail, and more jail, end quote. Meantime, the impact on the lives of the five indicted union members has been deeply personal, not political. Longshoreman Charles Braves is friends with several of the men.
What's painful through the whole thing is to watch the five guys, they're going through under house arrest. That's going on a year plus, you know. I watch families tore up behind us. I watch guys, wife actually leave them. I mean, it's chaos.
The South Carolina Attorney General's office says there's a tentative September court date for the five longshoremen. If convicted, they face a maximum of 5 to 10 years behind bars. Longshoremen's unions say they'll protest the first day of the trial with a one-day strike, shutting down ports throughout Western Europe and the U.S. Eric Westervelt, NPR News, Charleston.